Alrighty, welcome back to the Mid-Range Podcast. This is episode 12, I believe, maybe 13. I'm here with Bryce today for the late week episode, doing a little midweek recap and preview. Bryce, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Glad to be back. How about yourself?
I'm doing very well. I just got a notification that Steph Curry is no longer with Under Armour, so that was like, took me a second to, yeah,
wow.
apparently he is taking that and making his own brand out of what was an Under Armour affiliate, I guess.
That's my goat.
Interesting. So I just spilled all over the desk, so. Exciting start to the pod.
This is what you come for at the mid-range. You get everything.
Exactly. I get like startled by the fact that Steph is leaving Under Armour, and then I spill a lime garage beer all over my desk.
Sounds good. Well, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, these are great. No free ads, but they are Colombian.
Yeah,
brand,
that's true. Respect. That's true.
All right, let's get to it then. Let's talk about some college basketball. I don't have to worry about Steph Curry right now. I'll save him for my dreams later. We had, I think, the game of the week so far, I think, in practice and in hypothetical, was probably Kentucky-Louisville. Louisville was, I think, 6.5-point favorites going into the game. Ends up being closer than six and a half.
Huh? Yeah, they won.
But they do win.
Louisville won by 8. They won 96-88. But I think with that game, I think the score is kind of a little bit closer than the actual game.
Yeah.
Just, you know, watching it live. Kentucky at one point got down by 20-plus. Brought it back within 4 with the you know, under 4 timeout in the second half. And Lowe missed that free throw, and I think after that is kind of when it went downhill. But what I will say is Mikael Brown Jr. Is as advertised as we can see. This freshman class just continues to just showcase its ability. Mikael Brown Jr., fantastic. Denzel Aberdeen played well. I think he started slow and then kind of got it going and was that real spark for Kentucky.
He was definitely the guy down the stretch in that game.
Yeah, which is something that is good moving forward for Kentucky, because I think right now they kind of lack that. They lack that guy. Otega Oweh's not been that for them up to this point. And I know there's been some disappointment from the Kentucky fan base just with looking on Twitter and stuff that he's not been as advertised yet. But you got to remember he's coming off, I believe, turf toe in the off season, so it's going to take him some time to get adjusted and come back from injury. And I think Kentucky will be fine. They're still without JQ. Not sure what that timeline looks like from a standpoint of him coming back. I know he's rehabbing well, and we hope to see him back here soon. But enough about Kentucky. Let's talk about Louisville and just how good they looked all around. Started off hot from behind the three-point line, kind of went down a little bit as the game went on, but all around, they just have a full team. I think this is the most depth that Pat Kelsey's had there. Obviously, he's only been there 2 years, but I think this team has a chance to be really, really good. I would put them up there with Duke and the ACC, and honestly, in the country right now, I would put them up there with some of the top teams. I came away thoroughly impressed with just the team as a whole. The way they move the basketball, it never really gets stationary, but it can, and when it does, it's for a purpose. They can drive really well, dish really well to the outside, and I came away really impressed with Louisville. In a rivalry game, anything can happen. You kind of got to throw the spread and the you know, money line away. Anything can happen, and they came out and kind of just punched Kentucky in the mouth and kept it there. And if they make the 7 free throws that they missed in a row at the end of the game,
that was crazy.
They run away with it. But I think we're seeing kind of the same trend just from one game. I know it's early in the season, but Kentucky's defense. We heard Mark Pope harp on their ability to defend coming into the year. That's kind of what he focused on. and Louisville goes up and puts 96 points up on them with missing 7 free throws at the end of the game. So, too early to be concerned there. I don't know, but it's definitely something to watch down the stretch. Or I should say,
you're
down
saying
as the year goes on.
Free throw shooting for Louisville or just Kentucky?
No, I think the defense from Kentucky is what's kind of concerning me.
I think
obviously it's a really good offense, but allowing 96 points, that's a lot of points.
Yeah, I think for Kentucky there is like an obvious step forward here, which is when Quaintance comes back, it's going to be in theory he's supposed to plug this hole, but you can't deny that when you watch on Tuesday night, it's like this defense is soft. Like Louisville's pretty much getting whatever they want. Like you're letting Isaac McNeely, who might be the best 3-point shooter in the entirety of college basketball, get like wide open jumpers on you. It's not great. I am very disappointed in the way Owe played. I thought their shooting night wasn't great. 5 turnovers isn't great, but he looked lazy out there. He didn't look like he was going, giving 100%, like despite the bad night. I thought Lowe was very disappointing. I think it's interesting that he's coming off the bench for them. I mean, he's going 2 of 8. I don't know, 3 turnovers. Like, just seemed like coming down the stretch, neither him or Owe, who, like, I think coming into the season, they were kind of viewed as the guys for Kentucky in some capacity. Yep. And, like, I think it's really going to come down to Aberdeen and maybe Quaintance. And Owe's going to have to be better. Chandler had another good night, I will say. I don't know. It's not the improved Kentucky defense that I think was advertised, but it's also not the improved Kentucky team that's advertised yet. So we'll see once Quaintance comes back, once his team is at full strength. But Louisville might just be top 5 good, top 3 good, because like they were – a lot of people had them in their Final Fours coming into the season. A lot of people had them better than Duke coming into the season, and – through what we've seen so far, that seems to be the case. I mean, Mikael Brown Jr., like you said, is, unbelievable. He's just, he's keeping pace with the rest of these elite freshmen around the country. He's playing just as well as any of them. And this is, like, you know, we all freaked out about Koa P having 30 against
Florida
in his debut. And it was like, so in his first big game, he dropped 30. And Mikael Brown's first game, he dropped 20, first big game. Dropped 29, 5 assists, and played 33 minutes for a team that, against a Kentucky team that's supposed to be really, really good. I felt great about Louisville after tonight, or after Tuesday night. And Xander Dufru, their new big guy from Germany, is like a legit player for sure. Yep. And like, he came right in. He's having big games, like, great rim runner for them, great defender. I mean, they're going to be really fucking good. I don't really know how. Like, through what we've seen so far, Bryce, would you adjust your preseason perspectives to say that, let's say, Louisville, Arizona, or any other teams that come to mind are in that elite top three type conversation, or Alabama, let's say, are in that elite top three, top five conversation, or are you still going to hold back on that for now?
I'm still going to hold back on that for now. It's just so early in the season. Like, obviously, I came in, you know, saying Florida's the runaway, you know, best team in the country. And they lost to Arizona. You know, Florida State takes them to I think it was a 2-point win in Gainesville. But it's so early. There's still so many new pieces gelling together for so many college basketball teams out there. But you do have to take it and say that Arizona has been fantastic. Louisville has looked fantastic. They definitely have jumped up in the rankings for myself. But I'm not going to sit here and say that my Final Four prediction has changed at all, because it just hasn't yet. But there's definitely teams out there that's caught my eye. I can't remember where I ranked Louisville in my rankings. I think it was 10th or 11th. I think I actually had Kentucky ahead of them. But they would definitely probably be in that, like, 6 to 7, 8 range, somewhere around there. And then I would probably put Arizona somewhere around there as well. But it's just so hard. And with Alabama, they've really surprised me. I will say they would probably be my biggest jump coming into the year. I think I had them at like 19th or 18th, somewhere around there. I would put them probably close to the top 10 as well. Intrigued to, and we'll touch on this later in the episode here, but intrigued about tonight's matchup with Purdue. So, but no, they impressed me on Saturday with St. John's. Obviously, I was on the wrong end of that prediction there, but you go into Madison Square Garden and kind of control the game throughout it.
They looked unbelievable
against Rick Pitino. It was impressive. So yeah, I think it's still a wait and see game with a ton of these teams. We're getting big matchups here and there. I think, you know, with Feast Week, we're going to see a lot of better matchups with the Players Era Tournament and all the other tournaments around the country. And I think maybe we'll start to see some of the top tier teams maybe make some separation and showcasing that they are the top teams. But I still think it's just so wide open. There's so many good teams. Yeah. There's teams that haven't, you know, played any competition yet. Tennessee, unfortunately, don't know about yet. We don't know about yet. So, no, it's been a fun 2 weeks so far, a week and a half, and there's just so much to go and so many good teams out there. The spread of talent around this year is, I think it's just going to leave it at, it's going to be anybody's game come down the stretch in March.
Yeah, I completely agree. Let's push it down. We'll just go through the Tuesday games. I will say we probably won't touch on Purdue Alabama because this will come out tomorrow and that game's tonight, I guess, right?
That is true.
So you want to either congratulate one or the other now, and so you're right. If
I'll congratulate Nate Oates on his win tonight.
Big win. And big win for Bama.
I'll congratulate them, and then I will not congratulate Fletcher Lawyer on his loss because he's ultimately going to lose. Surprisingly, though, he's actually been really, really, really good to start the year. No, Alabama's going to win the game.
He's got, you know, I heard he has you actually as his like wallpaper on his phone. It's like this fucking
asshole. He might. If that's what it takes to motivate him, I guess. You're welcome. You're welcome, Matt Painter.
Yeah, there you go.
No, give me Bama.
That's I agree. I think Bama. I know Bama won, actually. All right.
Yeah.
So we pushed down. So Tuesday really was a great night for college ball because then it just pushed right into Tech Illinois, just kind of going simultaneously. Illinois looks awesome, but I will say I was impressed by Tech competing down to the end of that game. Toppin is ridiculous. Like, completely. Like, I think him, as of like in terms of the non-freshman, like him and Ejiofor both, just like in early season losses for both of them, obviously, just look as good as advertised, as good as they have been for years. And like they are really like they have the opportunity, both of them in their own respects, have the opportunity to really like put together an all-time college season this year.
Yeah,
Toppin with 35 points and 11 rebounds. He was like their entire offense. Like, it was like, get the ball to Toppin. Anderson did not have his best game. Watts was kind of their second best guy, who was 8 of 10 from the field. But like, it really was the Toppin show. And he held off a game from Stojakovic, who at one point I think he was 6 for 6, 7 for 7 or something. Like, really was not missing shots. What'd you take away? Do you think Illinois is better than advertised? And I know you were big on Tech coming into the season, so are you still feeling good where you're at with Tech?
Yeah, I think with Illinois, they have so much. They won this game without their best big, for one, I believe it's Tomislav is the brother's name of Big Z, but
Big Z.
So they won that game without him. Obviously, that probably had a little bit to do with JT Toppin's success, even though, in my opinion, I think he's the best player in college basketball.
He's ridiculous.
Definitely had to do with some of his success, but just the way Kylan Boswell controls the offense. Stojakovic had 23 points, one three-point shot, and one free throw. One free throw made and zero threes made.
It was ethical.
It was incredibly ethical. In today's game, you just don't see that from that position. In reality, it's more of the 3-point shot is just so important in today's basketball. And to win that game the way Illinois did, I mean, they shot 7-for-22 from three, but they shot 50% from the field and held Texas Tech to 27% from three. And if you hold a team under 30% from three, most nights you're probably going to win the game in today's game.
So I
came away really impressed with just Kylan Boswell. Big Z had 11. Wagler had 11. Obviously, Stojakovic had 23. Just the point spread. I mean, just everybody. I mean, they had five people in double digits in this game. You're going to win a lot of basketball games if you have five people in double digits when two of your guys went for 23 and 22. But kind of coming over to Tech, you got one guy that had 35, who was your whole offense, really efficient, 17 for 25 with JT Toppin. You had another guy with 21 and LeJuan Watts. And then your next highest was Christian Anderson, who had a pretty inefficient night, over 6 from 3, 4 for 12 from the field, and then didn't get to the free throw line once, which – I think if you're not having a good shoot night, that's where you want to try to get to is the free throw line. And
We're a very pro free throw podcast. Only shot four.
Exactly. And you're not going to win a lot of basketball games if you're shooting four free throws. It's just not going to happen. I'm not going to say I'm down on Tech. You know, you only lost by four when you didn't have your best stuff on the road. They're going to improve from this. Playing these early season matchups away, not in neutral sites, is just going to make your team better. Christian Anderson's going to get better from this. JT Toppin, I don't know how you improve from a performance like that, but the team as a whole, Donovan Atwell didn't have a good night either. I think you'll see improvement from him. But Illinois, I think I came away more impressed with Illinois than I did disappointed with Texas Tech.
Yeah, I'll give you a good, like Ryan Russillo answer here, where it's like, I almost came away more impressed with Tech. I thought Tech looked good. I mean, given how, like we were talking about, they only take four free throws. They shoot 6-for-22 from the 3-point line. I was impressed. And I honestly, like, coming into the season, I don't think, like, I would have said that Tech is all that much better than Illinois. Maybe that was Nick in the back of my head, who he was a lot lower on Tech. But, like, I thought that these teams just seem to be about even. And Tech, honestly, probably was unlucky to – like, Illinois, the game being this close with the, like, disparities and, like, shooting quality and stuff in this game, it was, like, Tech was just better inside. They were – better scoring. They just didn't get a lot of free throws, didn't get a lot of calls. So, like, I do think Tech is really good, and I'm definitely, like, changing my expectations for them to say, like, this Illinois team is as good as anyone in the Big Ten, and Michigan struggled earlier in the day, so.
Yeah.
There's obviously questions with them. Purdue hasn't necessarily looked amazing. UCLA hasn't looked amazing. So it's really, like, Illinois, I think, might be the cream of the crop in the Big Ten, and Tech went into Champaign and only lost by 4 points. It's not a terrible result. I feel good about Tech, and I feel good about Illinois too. And I'm really looking forward to Big Ten play starting, because I think they might be. I mean, they were number four, I think, in KenPom preseason, and a lot of people kind of raised their eyebrows at that and questioned why they were so high on that list. And maybe they're showing you why, because Underwood once again has a great team in Champaign. That's going to be a lot of fun all season.
And he always does. That's the thing with Ellen, that he always really does have good basketball teams. They've just always been good under him. Really, really good basketball coach.
I have nightmares about, what was his name, Kofi Cockburn back in the day. OSU, the year before I came to college, they went on, like, this miracle, not miracle run. I mean, they were good, but they went on a good run, and they beat Purdue on the way to the Big Ten championship in that COVID season, and I was like, it was right before I was coming, so I was really into it, and then they just got dogged. Whatever you wanted. So I have Illinois trauma, same way I have Purdue trauma, but they are a good team, and I think they might be the best in the Big Ten, or at least they've shown the most. All right, before we get to a preview, I do want to ask you, What do you think about Gonzaga so far? They have absolutely dominated in their first two Power 5 games. They kill Oklahoma, and then they kill Creighton back-to-back. Has Mark Few done it again? Is Gonzaga just a national championship contender per usual, and we should just be expecting this every year?
It might be the year that Mark Few finally does it. obviously, it's so early to say that, but they just dominated. It really was. It was just sheer domination of Creighton and a good Creighton team. Graham EK, 20 points, 8 for 10 from the field, 4 for 4 from 3. And then Braden Huff, 14 points, 7 for 12 from the field. Adam Miller in double digits. You know, another team that had four guys in double digits, one guy with 9 points. Everybody that went in the game scored but one person. Shot 33% from the field, over, 52% from the field, but 53% from the free throw line. That's, as a very, very pro free throw guy and podcast, Mark Few, come on. Get them boys shooting free throws in practice.
But they
just dominated this game. They dominated their two Power 4 opponents. It might be time to start talking about Gonzaga and up there with the elites of college basketball. Yeah. And I'm not saying that as a joke at all. It might be time to start talking about that. I mean, they're third in KenPom right now, ninth offense efficiency, fifth defensive, right behind Duke and Houston. It could be the year. Could be the year of Gonzaga finally.
I need a banner behind me that just says KenPom is always right, because it's like Illinois is just as good as they said, and they had Gonzaga in what, 8th preseason, and that was another one. I think we on the podcast were like, that seems high. High, and it's like, no, of course he knows. Like, they know.
No,
yeah, Gonzaga's KenPom, legit. How? Go ahead.
KenPom, and just a little bit off topic here, KenPom had Tennessee winning by 33 last night against North Florida. Tennessee won by 33 last night against North Florida. So he was spot on. Awesome. It's hard to say anything bad about KenPom, but no, he is.
How much does it suck for you that Gonzaga went to a Final Four? Because that kind of took a lot of the... That sent all the trolls all the way right to Tennessee, right? Because it was the two that made it.
It'll eventually happen. Don't know when it'll happen, but it'll eventually happen. Law of average says it eventually happens. Well, I guess it might not. I mean, we've been a program for so long. But
The good news is that you either die first or it's like it happens. Eventually, right?
So
there's
eventually
a light at the end of the tunnel somewhere.
There is somewhere at the end of the tunnel, but
it's either death or Tennessee in a Final Four. I wish they had odds for that on DraftKings.
Yeah, I would take the no. I would take no Final Four. It's probably free money. At this point, we've had the teams to do it. Yeah, we've had teams to do it, and it just maybe it's just not for us. Maybe we just don't like it. That's basically what it is. We just don't want to do it.
Yeah. Well, at least you guys are competing for national championships in football, right?
Right. Yeah. So we're really good, playoff team in football this year. Didn't just lose probably one of the best coaches in baseball either. And then we'll see on the basketball team. Not sure there yet. We'll see.
Tennessee, it is funny. Obviously, we just had linked up just over the internet and just had turned this into a thing. It's like it is funny that we have the two most dickheaded, trollable fan bases, Ohio State and Tennessee, as our rooting interests here on the mid-range. And then you got TCU. That's perfect.
Yeah. The trolling last year in the playoff between Ohio State and Tennessee fans was just at an all-time high. I don't get involved in it on Twitter, I see it. It's fantastic. It's great.
Ohio State fans are simultaneously on basketball, obviously it's mostly football with Ohio State, but it's they're the most confident and the most sensitive of any fan base.
That
in
is
America.
Literally, like, oh my gosh, we're right behind you because it's unbelievable.
It's like pick one or the other. It's like either be cocky or don't. Like some fan bases, dude, they just are cocky as hell, and I do respect it. I sometimes wish Ohio State fans could take a page out of that book, but beside the point. All right, let's hit a little preview here. Let's go to. I'm scrolling through it, and I just keep seeing Michigan TCU. Only favored by 6.5.
Nick, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Nick. I'm sorry.
Interesting. There I'm might sorry. Need to be a sizable wager. Sizable wager on the on the Wolverines. Ooh, there, but
that is not a lot of points. Is it at TCU?
It is at TCU.
It is at. Well, I don't know what team they lost to first game of the year, but I don't remember the name of them. That should tell you all you need to know. Nick, I'm sorry, but I'm going to be placing a sum of money on Michigan -6.5.
That's tough.
I hope I'm wrong for your sake.
Because I honestly might do the same thing. But we'll skip that game since Nick's not on the pod. Get to the real hoops. We got Arizona UCLA at 10 p.m. on Peacock. It is in L.A., the Hall of Fame series. It's a 2.5-point spread in Arizona's favor. Both teams are 3-0. Arizona obviously won big against Florida in opening night. UCLA struggled, actually, in a couple bye games, but I think kind of righted the ship, won by 20 against West Georgia. I don't know. Where are you at with this? I'm kind of surprised the spread's only 2.5, given how shaky UCLA's looked.
Yeah, with it being in L.A., that obviously gives UCLA a bit of a help there. But
of course.
I think Arizona's just got so much talent. I think that's too much talent for UCLA to overcome. I would probably definitely take the money line with Arizona, and I would probably even put money on the spread as well at -2.5.
2.5.
Florida is a better team than UCLA, and Arizona handled them, and Arizona should handle UCLA. And I think I won't say easily, because it's going to be a very competitive matchup, but I think they're going to cover that spread. And like you said, UCLA's, they struggle with Eastern Washington. They struggle with Pepperdine. WGA, West Georgia, I'm guessing, won by 21. Struggle with those teams. It's early, obviously, but you shouldn't be struggling with those teams. You should be, you know, maybe at the start of the game you struggle, and you know, maybe you're turning the ball over, that team's coming out shooting the three ball well, and then you run away with it. That didn't happen. UCLA scored 80 points. They've scored 74 points. They've scored 83 points. Arizona, on the other hand, scored 93, 93, 84. Too much offensive firepower with Arizona. Not enough offensive firepower with UCLA. I like Arizona in this game. I like them by more than 2.5 as well.
I agree.
Wow, so look at us.
I know. I know.
Look at us.
Our first agreement on the podcast, I think. So, like, what's fun about this is, like, I'm stuck between two things here. Because I'm stuck between college basketball, trying to be a mature analyst who tries to, like, analyze the game and understand the game. And then I have the other side of my mind, which is, like, the gambling mentality, which is like, why is it 2.5? Spread so low? Does Vegas know something I'm missing? And should I just take UCLA moneyline because they were ranked damn near top 10 preseason? Every expert said they were a top 10 team preseason. They were a lot of people's like, oh, sneaky Final Four, sneaky championship pick. Arizona won huge in their first game. They've looked better in every game, and it's still only 2.5 points. So I'm like, I'm putting that caveat on it where I'm saying, like, if I'm just putting on my gambler hat, I'm taking UCLA probably money line, and I'm saying, you know what, let's get dirty, let's get nasty.
Yeah,
let's make it a 75 to 70 game or something like that. But if I'm being honest, I don't see how you could pick UCLA in this game. I mean, Arizona has looked infinitely better. They have beat the reigning champion in their first game, and against the bye teams, they killed them. And UCLA struggled with what was it, Eastern Washington, they were only won by 10. I think Pepperdine, they barely won by 10. And as much as I do like Mick Cronin and I do like Donovan Dent, and I kind of went on my soapbox for them in our very first episode, I don't see how you could be confident right now in UCLA. And I'll go Arizona here. I agree with you. I think it would be by more than 2.5. Maybe the play is to go like Arizona minus 9.5 or something and make it interesting. For it. Little alt spread situation. But
I will say KenPom has it at Arizona winning by 2, 78-76. So maybe there is something that we're missing here. I don't know what it would be. I think Arizona scores too much. I don't think UCLA does. And Arizona's averaging one more point a game than on the defensive end than UCLA through three games. So I don't know what's up with the spread there. I don't maybe obviously Vegas knows more than I do. They always will. But just from a basketball analyst, I guess you would say, standpoint of it, I just don't see how Arizona. I think they're just the better team.
Yeah. We're calling it a mortal lock. There's no way Arizona does not cover 2.5.
So take UCLA plus 2.5, money line, whatever it is, and put your mortgage on. No, I'm just kidding. Don't do that. Yeah. It's not gambling advice.
Yeah. 1-800-GAMBLER.
Yeah.
All right. That's where we're at for Arizona-UCLA. I think we're on the same page there. It is a weird one. That's going to be a fun game, though, because, like, you know, it is tough sometimes because we put a lot of stock in these bye games one way or the other. It's like, you know, you win a bye game by 30. We're like, oh, this team's flying. It's like, yeah. Or they just won against some shitty team by 30 and that actually it's not that big of a difference from winning by 10 in terms of the flow of the game. And, like, sometimes if these teams have the effort level and they're working hard, and especially a team like UCLA with a lot of transfers and that plays slow, you can see where they get caught a little bit in one of those situations. Now, I mean, the thing is, Mick Cronin already fired himself. So it's like they have interim Mick Cronin now. So it's like a whole different coach. And I'm wondering if that can be the difference maker for the Bruins. But I don't know.
UCLA's style of play, last thing I'll say, UCLA's style of play is not a blowout style of play regardless of the opponent.
No, it's not.
So it's hard to really, and I agree that it's hard to really put stock into these bye games because, as much as it's a game and it's a basketball game and it's an exhibition game for a lot of these teams, and how pumped up and excited do these teams get for going and playing Pepperdine or Eastern Washington or West Georgia?
Right.
They don't, and they're going to come out firing against Arizona, like because it's a big game. So,
yeah.
Exactly. It's hard to say. It's hard to say, and it's going to be a good one. I'm excited to watch it. Unfortunately, most people might not get to watch it because it's on Peacock because they decide to put all these games on different services. But I don't know. We'll see.
I think that's those are the sweethearts over at the Big Ten that probably did that. They love throwing shit on Peacock.
Yeah, that's their favorite thing to do.
So that's where we're at with Arizona-UCLA. It should be a great game. I agree with what you said. Like, you're just going to be more amped up for Arizona. And I think there's, like, an alternate view of it, too, where it's, like, not only are you more amped up for Arizona, it's, like, you haven't looked great. So you want to prove to the fan base, you want to prove to coach that you're locked in and that you want to make a run this season. Go in there and beat the team that just beat the, like... That's you are in a spot where you can, like, just rip down the newest darling of college basketball four games into the season. Like, take that reign of terror and, like, end it within a week. Like, that's the opportunity you have. So it will be a fun game, and I'm excited to watch. I'm excited to watch Dent in prime time. I love Mick Cronin. Like, he is maybe one of my favorite characters in all of sports. He's just this, like, little, like, conniving, like, he's like a super villain. I just love him. So I'm excited to see him, like, running up and down the sideline, like, screaming like a little petulant child. It's perfect. All right, we'll push onwards. Big game, top 10 matchup, Saturday night. It is BYU at UConn. Is that right?
It is in...
Yeah.
Yes.
Or is it Boston?
So it's in Boston. So yeah. But
okay.
You know.
Perfect. Yeah.
Close enough.
So I mean, it'd probably be essentially a UConn home game. I don't think they have a lot of Mormons out east. Those guys tend to be in the
I don't think that there'll be a ton of those there.
Yeah. But let's see. I'm trying to find a.
I was having trouble finding.
Do we have a spread? Do we have odds?
I don't think. Let me see if I can find it on DraftKings here.
Oh, no.
They tend to don't put them out like till day. Most big games, though, they usually have them out.
Yeah, they usually have them.
Weird. I'm not finding any odds for this game, but KenPom does have UConn winning by six. So.
So let's say we'll do a little gambling analysis. We'll say the spread's 5.5.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
We'll get UConn 5.5 in Boston. What do you think here? I will say I think
it's an interesting
BYU
one.
In this game.
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting one. You got probably one of the best freshmen in the country in DeBonta, and then you have one of the best teams in the country in UConn, and so is, I mean, BYU is also one of the best teams in the country as well. But playing in Boston, playing that close to UConn, and the way UConn has looked, granted it's against bye games and teams that are not very good, but they've kind of done the opposite of what UCLA's done. They've beat down every team they played. I mean, poor UMass Lowell, they just – I don't know what that coach said to Dan Hurley before the game, but he obviously wasn't very nice to him because he just put it
– No, he probably said, like, hi, it's dominated. Nice to meet you. And Dan Hurley was like, I'm going to fucking choke you out like in front of your children. I'm like
– I'm going to take UConn in this one. It's going to be a close – this will be a tough one for me because – BYU's so good, but I like UConn that close to home. The way they're playing right now, they got four guys in double digits, averaging double digits. I don't think Silas Demery has scored how he's going to continue to score as the year goes on.
Yeah.
But solo balls look fantastic. Caravans looked as advertised as 2 years ago, and then Terrace Reed Jr. is continuing. I mean, he's averaging a double-double right now. So I'm going to take UConn in this game. If their spread was 5.5, I would definitely take BYU on the spread. I think it's going to come down to the wire with either team, with the last shot to win the basketball game. So this is the game that I'll have this game on over any primetime football game.
Yeah.
Any day of the week, because this is going to be one of the better games we've seen so far, and could be one of the better games. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I had a funny moment with my buddy earlier where he was like talking about like, oh, let's go to a bar, let's watch Thursday Night Football or whatever. And I was like, yeah, sure. And then I go and I'm looking trying to prep for us, and I see Purdue, Alabama. I'm like, watching fucking football.
No,
Braden Smith versus
you wouldn't catch
a in Tuscaloosa. Come on,
NFL game. Last Sunday it was like, obviously NFL everywhere, and then I don't even remember who was playing in basketball. There's a few good games. College basketball is on my TV.
Just basketball, man. I like. Yeah, there's something about it. It's just the greatest game. It is.
Yeah, it's just
thank
different.
God for James Naismith. Thank God
absolutely.
For basketball. It is.
Yeah,
I could watch. I think I can watch like the second division in Turkey. Before I watch like a football game, with just like something about the way those squeaks on the hardwood, it's amazing.
Especially NFL for me, it's just not my cup of tea in general. Anyways,
you're really not a pro sports guy at all, huh?
No, and it probably just being in Tennessee, we just don't have many pro sports teams. I mean, we have Memphis, but my God, where I live,
Grizzlies.
Memphis is basically in another state.
That's true.
And then the Titans, I was more of a Colts guy growing up with Peyton Manning going to the Colts, so I didn't really get into the Titans and stuff like that. College basketball should be on everybody's TV come Saturday night. I know it won't be, but it should be, because that's going to be one of the best matchups we probably see before we turn into conference play. And then same with Friday night. It'll be a really good one. And then there's just so many good early season matchups leading into next week.
It's
and then
slate.
Feast Week, don't even turn on NFL. You've got so many. Yeah. And we'll touch on those later, but I got to get that out there. Yeah. That's up there with the March Madnesses of the weeks for me because it's just so many good teams. And with the players there and stuff like that, it's fantastic.
Yeah. Well, I do like – which I think a lot of people – I don't know. I've seen a lot of people on Twitter be like, oh, it's like I wish there were more better games week one. I like that it's like there's one or two good games a day.
Yeah.
So, like, you can really dial in, learn about this team, watch this team play. So I'm excited. I'm pumped for UConn, BYU, and I'm gonna say BYU goes into Boston and gets a big win against UConn. I really, really liked what I saw from Keba Keita and their early matchup with Villanova. AJ DeBanza, I kind of question it a little bit. Dude, he's getting whatever he wants.
Yeah.
And he's like, he's finishing inside as well as like anyone I've ever seen. It's almost like, it's just like his efficiency is absurd. I mean, shooting 57% from the field and he's shooting less than 30% from three. Like, he's not a shooter. He's a finisher. Like, he gets inside and he just like gets these points in the paint. It's really like, it's really cool. It's not exactly the game that I had him pegged for, really. So it's been fun to watch, I think. Rob Wright is a guy I love. I think he's just a great basketball player. Yeah. He's been awesome this season. Richie Saunders is a guy who could be – Nick said before the season he thinks he's the best player on BYU. He's averaging 20 points a game, so might have been right about that. He's an absolute sniper as well. So this like starting five of Wright, DeBanza, Saunders, Keita, and then whoever else at the four, I think it's been Davis so far. Yeah. But I think they're awesome, and I think they have – they have more defensive balance than I thought because Wright plays hard on defense. DeBanza has been locked in on defense, which is like something that I said coming into the season was like a really important factor. Is like if he's really putting his head down and playing D, they're going to be really hard to deal with because Keita as a rim protector is really like on an elite level to me. And you know, he's averaging like three stocks a game and shooting almost 70% from the field. It's just like that perfect big guy that I love. Give me BYU. Give me BYU in an early season test against UConn. UConn really hasn't been tested yet. They've played nobody. Like,
no, and
obviously
they
it's only three games into the season. But like,
they
haven't even played like some. Like, I don't know. It's like they have had some low-tier games to start. New Haven is a brand-new program in college basketball. Yeah. UMass Lowell is, like, very, very low-tier mid-major.
Yeah.
And Columbia is a bottom team in the Ivy. So it's going to be an interesting game, but I'll take BYU in that one, and that will bring us to – I think it's – well, you know what? Let's touch on two. Let's touch on two on Sunday. Let's start at Houston-Auburn, which I don't know if this is a good game or not. What do you think?
Auburn has just been very unimpressive so far to start the year. Obviously, they've blown out Wofford and Merrimack, but they had a little bit of a scare with Bethune-Cookman. Pettiford has not played I don't think he's played up to the caliber of player I thought he was going to be to start the year just yet. And that's scary for me.
Is it the fact that he's shooting 28% from the
field? It's like he was supposed to be the guy for this year's team. Obviously, Keyshawn Hall's averaging 24 points a game, shooting 58% from the field and 75% from three. But Todd Pettiford was supposed to be the guy this year. Obviously, you now know that you got guys around him, but until he gets going, I don't see this Auburn team getting going and beating teams like Houston.
I agree.
So I can't back Auburn here. I know KenPom, I believe, has it a 5-point difference. 74-69.
Really?
Yeah, I just don't see that. I don't think Auburn's going to be able to score on Houston. And then they're not going to be able to stop Houston either. I don't understand that at all. Auburn's 27th in defense.
I don't really even understand how Auburn is ranked still, more or less how they would be in a projected 5-point game with Houston has been
it doesn't make sense. Yeah, it doesn't make much sense to me. I just, like I said, I can't buy into this Auburn team until Todd Pettiford starts playing better. He's the nucleus of the team, and he's got to start playing better. There's no if or when he starts. It's got to happen, or this team will not – they're not going to be happy with the end result. And like I said, at the start of the year when we did our SEC preview, those Auburn fans, they're not going to wait around. They sucked in football this year. All they had to look forward to is basketball. They're not going to wait around for Stephen Pearl. They brought the talent in. Well, they kind of did, but they got guys this year good enough to make a run in March and be a good team throughout the year. But I would say they've been one of my more disappointing teams. And give me Houston by, God, 10 plus, truthfully.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you a hypothetical while we're on Auburn, because I agree with you. I think if the line is below 10, I'm going to take Houston.
Yeah.
So, I think Houston is significantly better, and I don't really even think this is that big of a game. It's almost like I'm almost like so disinterested in Auburn already that I'm like, Houston's going to kill him. I probably won't even watch. But we'll see what happens. Obviously, it's a hypothetical. What do you think, to ask you another dumb hypothetical, Stephen Pearl, over under a year and a half as the head coach of the Auburn Tigers?
Under. I'm going under. I just the contract of 5 years.
You think he's gone before next season?
One and a half. No, I'll go over. Yeah, I'll go over. Actually, I think the AD, the administration, will probably put a little bit of a small asterisk beside it. But I think that seat's going to be coming, very hot coming into the year.
Yeah.
Next year, but they'll probably make excuses that, he didn't have his guys, even though his guys were literally his dad's guys, and he was on the staff. But they'll make up some excuse to buy him some time. One thing I'll say about all – I just don't think this team – they haven't gelled, and I don't know if they ever will gel. I think they had a lot of players, a lot of good players that are very – I want to shoot the basketball. I want to shoot it X amount of times, and I'm going to shoot it X amount of times. It's not a lot of, team basketball. And that's just not college basketball and how the game really goes and how you win big and win games, unless you're, Florida and have one of the best players in college basketball with Clayton last year.
Auburn, that note, it's like John Ibrahim is not walking through that door. Like, there's
you change your whole
guy that's going to come in and score 30 for you
this year. Last year was all through him, and then they matched that with shooters all around the perimeter.
Right. Right.
This year they don't have Janai Broome. Yeah, they don't have Janai Broome inside.
Right.
They also don't. I mean, they got shooters, but they're not like. I don't think they're like last year's shooters, in my opinion. I mean, Pettiford hasn't played up to that capability as last year. I mean, he was better last year, in my opinion, so far. I don't know if this team will ever gel. I would honestly put some SEC teams over them coming into the SEC season coming January. I would probably move them down on my list. But no, I'm not high on them. I don't think I ever will be this year. I don't like the makeup of the team. The more that I've looked at it and watched them, I just don't like the makeup of the team.
I agree. And their coach is literally only their coach because he's their old coach's son, which is like, there's this funny thing that happens sometimes in sports where it's something like this, and it's like collective delusion. It's like, we all know that's what happened.
Yeah.
And everyone's just like, that's what happened. It's like, no, that's fucking crazy. Like,
when has this ever worked?
Auburn basketball. Like, they literally were in conversations at one point last season as this is the best college basketball team we've ever seen. Like, that was a real point of topic, a topic of conversation, 6-7 months ago. but it's crazy that you're falling this far this fast, and it's like, and everyone's just like, of course. It's like, he quit immediately before the season, and they hired his son with no experience. It's like, no, that's not just a normal thing that happens. Like, that's crazy, and Bruce Pearl already has a lot of questionable behaviors over the years, and we're all just accepting this as fact and this is fine and whatever. So I don't know. I honestly I hate Bruce Pearl. So
that's fair.
I'm almost rooting against Auburn as I get some kind of vindictiveness towards Pearl, even though he's not even there anymore. But like, yeah, I don't think they're that great. And I honestly just think it kind of comes down to that at some point.
What confused me is when all this went down, whenever it was, sometime in August or September, whenever it was, the fans kind of like backed the decision. It was like,
right, exactly.
Steven's our coach now. We won't take a step back. Steven has never coached a basketball. He's never been a head coach anywhere, let alone the team that just went to the Final Four and had Bruce Pearl as its head coach.
Yeah.
But they accepted it. They were like, oh, it's fine.
An elite college basketball team.
They could go out and get majority of coaches, but they could go out and get some really good college basketball. Heck,
100%.
You know my first call if I was Auburn? Guess who coached under Bruce Pearl? Todd Golden. You could get guys of that level. But no, you settled for Bruce's son, Stephen Pearl, Mr. 2.5 points per game in college, who – got to where he's at because of his dad.
Right.
But
it's like, it's
clap it up
fine,
for the way he's doing it
doing
it. I would, if my dad was the coach and I got handed this, heck yeah, I'd say the same thing. Frick yeah, I'll take the job. But as an Auburn fan, man, I would be so, if that happened at Tennessee, oh my God, I would be so frustrated and just pissed off. And it could have happened. Bruce Pearl could still be here, and it could have happened the same thing for Tennessee, and I would have been very frustrated with it.
Well, at least then you'd have a Final Four, though.
That's true. No, it still wouldn't happen. No way. No way it would have happened. It still wouldn't have happened.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's nuts. It's one of the strangest. It was the biggest story in college basketball, and it's like the Luka trade, where it's like, this was the biggest deal ever, and I feel like we're still not talking about it enough.
No. So I feel like it didn't get talked about enough. Like, truthfully, like, everybody just kind of accepted it. I feel like people kind of speculated and kind of knew it was going to be something that was going to be conversated about, obviously.
Right.
Your dad leaves, you're going to step in. There was no maybe the interview process happened at some point, but, like, it was just, like, same day, all right, Stephen Pearl's our head coach, and Auburn fans were like, yippee,
I think
hooray,
it has,
like.
Yeah, I think it has to some extent been an open secret that it would happen eventually, but obviously, like, it coming so, but maybe it just wasn't that sporadic to them. And like, the funny thing is, it's like, I almost wonder if it's like, it is like the Luka trade type of thing, which is like, this is like such a doomer perspective for Auburn. And like, obviously, they could just like make us both look stupid and go be a Final Four team again this year, and that's completely on the table. But like, it's almost like it is like the Luka trade in a way where it's like, did the leadership think that they won this? Did they think that this was good? Like, because that was like Nico Harrison being like, yeah, well, this trade makes complete sense for us. It's like, yeah, well, of course we hired his son. Like, it's like, no, that's not how the jobs work.
I think,
look elsewhere.
To go in the kind of the minds of the leadership and what they kind of might have been thinking in this process was, Hugh Freeze is probably not going to be our football coach after this year. Granted, he just wasn't very good at Auburn. We can save money by hiring Stephen Pearl as our coach for now, and then maybe in a year and a half, 2 years, we let him go, and we go get a big coach when we're already paying three buyouts still with football.
Yeah.
Let's not try to – we're going to have to pay a buyout. It's late in the year. What basketball coach? But that's where I would have went with the intern tag. There's no way I would have gave that dude a 5-year deal.
Like
to
Tony
say
Bennett,
you're
like the guy in Virginia.
Yeah, like
his name,
give him an interim tag. If he succeeds, then we'll talk about head coaching job. Even at that point, I still would have been like, maybe we'll see. Program like that should not be hiring a coach that's never coached as a head coach. It's just not. That was a malpractice, and they're going to see the effect of it. Auburn fans are going to be pissed off. And it's going to hurt this AD because he's made a bad hire in Hugh Freeze, and we're going to see the same thing with Stephen Pearl.
Yeah, it is. It's truly wild. All right. We can move on from making fun of Auburn, as fun as that is. I think Houston by a million is both of our official takes, and if we're wrong, then we're wrong, I guess. We're a little more on the same page here than last week, so I'm a little nervous that we're going to screw it. I don't know if I want to ride with you, you know?
Take everything I say and flip it.
Yeah, there you go. All right. I want to talk about two late games on Sunday, and there's, I think they're both upset spots. I think one of them is more likely than the other. But I'm going to just take a second to say I think Auburn could beat Purdue on Sunday night. I know that obviously sounds crazy to some who don't know.
Wait, Akron or Auburn?
I'm sorry, Akron.
Okay,
Akron,
I was like...
Yeah. Yeah. I think Akron could go out there and beat Purdue. Akron... What I'm trying to get the... Do you know the coach's name off the top of your head?
I do not. John Gross?
Yes. John Gross and the University of Akron basketball the last few years have been a power in the MAC. They run, they play frenetic defense, and they have put competitive games together against good teams. They've had some tough matchups in the tournament, which is why you haven't seen any big upsets there. But, like, if Purdue beats Alabama, don't be surprised at a huge letdown spot against Akron at Purdue. I genuinely think there is a chance in that game for Akron to win, and I will be putting my money where my mouth is. That's a promise. I'm going to put probably five bucks or whatever. Akron win. It's going to be like plus 2,000 or something. So that's, I'm just going to say that officially on the pod. I mentioned it on Monday, but we don't have to harp much on that. But what we can harp on is the University of Florida meeting up with Miami in Jacksonville. We've got the reigning champs at 2-1 versus the U at 3-0. Obviously, they have their new head coach, Jay Taylor, right? Coming over from Duke Texas. And
yeah. Jay Lucas. Yep.
Right. Jay Lucas obviously comes over. He's like this whiz kid recruiter. Brings a couple big recruits over from Duke. Brings in Malik Renew. Brings in Trey Washington. Trey Donaldson, rather. Sheldon Henderson is a really big freshman. What do you think about Miami here? Do they have a shot, you think, to take down Florida in a cross-state matchup?
Yeah, I think this is an interesting spot for both teams here. And Florida kind of has something to prove in this game. Obviously, they didn't look fantastic against Florida State, which I'm going to go ahead and put on record that I think Florida State's a lot better than people give them credit for. Their style of play is I love it. And it's fun to watch, but I think this is a spot that Florida needs to go prove something. They've shot the ball as poor as a team can shoot the ball from three.
Definitely.
Boogie Flans looked good driving downhill, but he's looked horrendous from behind the arc. Xavier Lee has just not played to the capability of this high level of basketball yet, in my opinion. I believe he was like 1-for-10 from three last night.
Yeah,
I think he gets a little happy, like shot happy from behind the arc, and doesn't try to create his own shot from driving. And drawing fouls and getting going from the free throw line. I would almost put I'm not going to guarantee an upset or anything like that, but I would say this game's going to be a lot closer than people give it out to be just because of who Florida is and who Miami's been the past few years. I think Miami has every chance to go in and upset Florida. Obviously, Thomas Houck has played just out of his mind to start the year, but
yeah,
the front court truthfully hasn't been as good as advertised just yet. I don't think Alex Condon's played as good as advertised. I don't think Ruben Chinyelu's played as good as advertised. Hanlocken, he's kind of that fourth piece in that. He was never going to be some big time scorer or anything like that. But I don't think the front court has been as advertised. Not that they've been bad, but I don't think they've been as advertised. And then the back court, just I don't think they've gelled yet. I don't think that they've found the pieces to the puzzle in gelling just yet. So this is one of those spots on a Sunday night. You don't see a lot of ton of Sunday games and things like that where Miami can go and sneak one out of in Jacksonville and win this game. Biggest thing I'll be watching is how good is Florida shoot from the three. I think you got to start seeing improvement from there. When you continue to do something over time, it shows to be a trend. Todd Golden's system, you don't want that trend to be shooting bad from behind the arc. If it continues to be a trend, there's going to be some concern for Florida.
I agree. And I think, yeah, I think we're on the same page here again. And I'm just going to say, screw it. Why not Miami? This is not the Miami team of the last few years. This is like a reloaded Miami team with some of like Renault and Donaldson coming over from the Big Ten, are like legit top 20, top 30 college basketball players. Like, yep. No exaggeration. Like, you look at any list, they're going to be in that conversation. Sheldon Henderson is like a freak of nature type freshman, yep. who's probably like getting lost in the shuffle of all of these elite freshmen across the country. But he's a guy who's like, I really did a deep dive when we talked to ACC, me and Nick, and like, he was just a guy where like you would go in and read like these Miami beat writers or whatever, just being like, this kid's fucking crazy. This kid's crazy. Yeah. Like, he's like 20 pounds heavier than he was in high school, and he's like carrying it with like elite size, and he's long and he can finish. And like, yeah, I kind of like took a little stand on Miami when we talked to ACC. Florida has looked shaky. I mean, there's no doubt about it. So, I mean, Florida's 0-3 against the spread. Miami's 2-1. Give me Miami here. Give me Miami money line. Yeah. We're going to hopefully maybe we get crazy and we do like an Akron Miami parlay for plus to pay my
that
rent.
Hits. We might not have to work for next week. Shoot, we. I like that. I like that a lot. Both picks.
It's
I would never.
I really think this. You said what?
I would have never thought of the Akron Purdue letdown spot, but no, that's definitely something I'll be watching for. I know you probably know a lot more about Akron and
Alabama,
things like that.
If they lose to Alabama, I'm reverting the take.
So what I'm hearing from this is you love Purdue, you love Fletcher Lawyer, you think Braden Smith's great on defense, and they have the best team in the country.
Guy you trust.
Clip it.
Yeah, exactly. I love Lawyers. Braden Smith and Clough, just a bunch of guys you can really trust out there and make sure, you know, first guy in, last guy out type dudes. Notre Dame does play at OSU on Sunday at 12:30. I will be in attendance, I believe, to see our mighty Buckeyes play against the evil Notre Dame Fighting Irish and Marcus Burton and Brennan Shrewsbury's unethical form of basketball. I'm looking forward to hopefully another big Ohio State offensive outing. We're 3-0. Let's fucking go, Buckeyes. It's been great so far.
Yeah, and I want to just kind of talk about Ohio State real quick. That offense is going to beat them in a lot of basketball games this year. And I'm not saying this just because you're an Ohio State fan. What they're doing in on the offensive end, and obviously the first game, IU Indy scores 102 points. IU Indy's offense is no joke. Their style of basketball is just it's the style of basketball that's gonna score those points. It's just how it works. But you've held the next two teams to 68 and 53. Granted, it was against Purdue, Fort Wayne, and Appalachian State. I get that. That's still really good defense. That's gonna win you a lot of basketball games if you're just playing that high level of defense night in and night out. And then you look at the offensive punch that Ohio State has. Why is the point guard's name slipping my mind right now? Bruce Thornton. He's one of the best point. I left him off my list.
Ridiculous.
What was I thinking when I was making that list? Where was my brain at when I was making that list? He is easily one of the best guards in the country, and it's not even close. I don't know what I was thinking. I like Ohio State this year, and again, I'm not saying this just because it's you on the pod. I really do. I enjoy watching them play.
That's
I think
the
they're
going to
be a lot better than people think. I think they're going to shake up the Big Ten a little bit. I'm being so serious.
The problem is genuinely is like, I wish they were fraudulent. Like, it's the same way I feel with Ohio State football sometimes, where I'm like, God damn it, this team is so good.
Yeah.
And then like with the basketball team, it's like, I've been to every game. It's like, man, we look good. Like, this offense looks good. And like, Thornton against App State. Like, App State is not the same as Purdue Fort Wayne, right? Like, State is like beat Auburn in a couple years ago, and their last couple years they've been a 20-win team or around there. And you know, Ohio State was down 25-15 in this game. They were shooting, like, legitimately, I think it was, like, 2 of 12 from the field. They couldn't make a shot. They won 75-53. After that point, they just completely blew the doors off of App State. Mobley, there's this kid, what's his name? Gabe. No, not Gabe Cups. I mean, Gabe Cups is fine. Colin White.
Yeah.
Colin White is, like, this, like, just psychotic white guy. Ohio State's got a bunch of psycho white guys now with, like, Cups and White, which is always fun.
Yeah.
And Mobley and Thornton are elite. Tilly is elite. Noel had his kind of first big game. Yeah, it's getting – I'm getting too optimistic, and now I'm like, okay, well, we're going to lose by 20 to Notre Dame on – Sunday, no, and I'll come right back down to earth. But
I'm backing Ohio State this year. I'm backing them. This is going to be their first true, you know, test of the year with Notre Dame. Obviously, they're not like some high-ranked caliber team, but it's a good matchup to have at the beginning of the year to see where your team's at with teams like this. I don't know what the point spread was going to be or it is going to be, but I believe KenPom has it at, let's see, Ohio State winning by 8. I would probably take 8.5 there, 7.5, whatever it is. I would take the points, and
Ken
I would probably
Palm loves the Buckeyes though.
He
gotta
does.
Keep that in mind.
He does.
Ken
Palm That's true.
Loves the Buckeyes every year. So
that is true.
Which is,
but I don't necessarily love the Notre Dame team, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that's fair.
And I love Bruce Thornton, so I'm back in Ohio State.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I love Bruce Thornton too. He is. I've been writing a little blog. And I did a little few paragraphs on my last one where I just kind of talked about, like, Buckeyes fans, like, I don't know if it's been put into context for them yet that, like, Bruce Thornton probably will retire as one of the best Ohio State basketball players of all time. Like, and if he goes to, and, you know, this is all overlaid by the fact that he's never been played in the NCAA tournament, which is crazy for how good he is. And it's crazy that, given that he's never played in a tournament, that he's still playing for us is a miracle in modern college basketball. I love him. He really, and like, he is just so efficient with, like, and he shoots the most. He's going to be a great NBA player. I will say that right now. I will put my stance on that right now. This game will translate to the NBA because his touch is so elite. Like, there are not a lot of guys on any level of basketball that can shoot this efficiently from short and mid-range. Like, that people talk about, like, the mid-range is dead.
Yeah,
it's not. It's just you have to be able to shoot it incredibly efficiently, and he does in that. He will, and he can shoot from three, and, like, at a guard spot, he's not tiny and he's a dog, so, like,
very strong as at a guard spot. Very, very strong. And
I love you. He hits you with that rip through, like, pull. Like, it's just the most, like, old guy buckets. I love him.
No, it's kudos to him.
I appreciate the Ohio State glaze, though.
Yeah, it's kudos. And last thing I'll say about Ohio State here, I don't want to glaze them too much. Maybe people start thinking I'm a fan of Ohio State. But you got to give kudos to a kid that has, like you said, never made the tournament at Ohio State, has been very, very good at Ohio State, and is still at Ohio State. I'm sure there was numbers thrown at him that he's probably never seen before. But he said, no, I'm going to stay at Ohio State. I think we can make a run this year, make the tournament, and potentially do damage in the tournament with the team we got coming back. Kudos to guys like that. That's people like that in college basketball. Fans should always find a way to love them just because of what they, you know, mean to it and mean to those programs. We just had it with Zakai Ziegler. Stayed all four years. I mean, and he's going to go down as a Tennessee legend because of that reason. So it's kind of the same thing with Bruce Thornton.
Well, and it's impressive for him because he was probably more of like a Sun Belt level player anyway. So you got to appreciate him sticking around. No, I'm kidding. He was obviously a baseline SEC type guy.
Yeah,
and like South Carolina level.
Yeah, SEC South Carolina, guy. LSU, you know, places like that.
Yeah. No, he might be too small to play LSU, but I don't know.
That's true. That's true. That's true.
All right, Bryce. Well, I'll let you go. I know you got some things to do. Obviously, we ran much longer than we agreed upon, so I'm
all
sorry
good.
For that.
All good.
But I appreciate everybody who's listening. please continue to. Please follow us on all socials, the Midrange CBB. Please follow me on all socials, JacobWise04. College Court Talk on everything for you, Bryce, except for College Court T on Twitter.
College
is that
Court
right?
College Court T on Twitter, correct, yes.
Perfect. Yeah, so this is – we'll do the same schedule every week. It should be two episodes a week, me and Bryce previewing the weekend, and then me and Nick reviewing it on the early week. So thank everyone so much for listening. Please follow us on everything. Please review on everything. Bryce, thank you for joining me.
Yep, absolutely. Thanks for having me. And, yeah, everybody enjoy college basketball.
Yeah, 100%. All right, signing off.